is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to show number 165 of Spouting Off. I am your grateful, happy host of Spouting Off, and here is the Friday BBS edition. We always broadcast live. We always welcome your phone calls. We are living through historic times. There's just no question about it. Some people don't get it. Some do. Few housekeeping things. I'm going to be spouting off in this first half hour, and I'd be happy to take your phone calls in the second segment. So if you'd like to get your dialing finger ready, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. What is your assessment of what's gone on this week, let alone the beginning of this month and all of last year? But let's just narrow it down to, I don't know, Wednesday, January 6th. I know I'll be talking about that and much, much more. This is the third episode this week of Spouting Off because we have a Tuesday-Thursday edition out of Nashua, New Hampshire, WSMN 1590 in Nashua, New Hampshire. And you don't have to live in Nashua, because I don't, and Nashua listeners can listen on BBS Radio here on Fridays. So it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on WSMN, and Fridays at 2 p.m. All of the information, including the click buttons to just go ahead and listen. We're getting those phone numbers up too, by the way, which we have not yet done, but we are doing it. So I have an ever-changing bunch of monologue points, but I want to dive right in here because I have a lot to get to, and I'm, as always, honored and privileged to be able to do that with you right now. Glad you're along. This is the observation and analysis of some of the most extraordinary times that in our country's history. That's just the way it is. First and foremost, rest in peace, Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed veteran who was murdered by Capitol Police on Wednesday, January 6th. Let us not forget, we're not the people, the patriots are not the people that go rioting in the streets and make victims of law-abiding citizens and their businesses who did nothing wrong. An unarmed woman was murdered. I saw the video where the guy just shot her. She was not only unarmed, but just imagine. I mean, we all know the phenomenally lopsided view, depending on what the political agenda is of the person as it is perceived. But let us just accept the fact that Ashley Babbitt appears to be dead, because, you know, you can't trust much news these days, but that does appear to be the sad truth, and may she rest in peace. It doesn't appear that she deserved to die. There's a lot of people who think all Trump supporters deserve to die, and that is part of the virus, the cancer that is running through this country that we hope will be eradicated. First, I want to mention, and forgive me if I've mentioned this before in other shows, but it is so important, it's still apropos. We are in an information and propaganda war, among other things. But first and foremost, it's an information and propaganda war. It's a war for the control and the hearts and minds of the public by manipulating information rather than reporting information. And they never stop running scams. We've seen this before. There's nothing new under the sun. We know that there is a globalist, communist, virulent faction. We don't know exactly all the whys and wherefores, but I think some very privileged few in our government do. And communists always want to control the people. It isn't just the control of resources. It's control of the people. So keep your own counsel and be very discerning about the information that you accept and believe, and never give up your God-given right to question, to doubt, to wonder. And for me, anybody who tells me I'm not allowed to do those things, our God-given rights to ask questions, to question everything, and to doubt and say, this doesn't add up, I'm just not sure. Well, those people are highly the most suspect. People that have decided you don't have that right to question. That should be your very first suspicion. The other principle that is so important is the willingness not to know. Our opponents on the other side are trying to impose communism in this country, are also trying to impose an idea, a mentality on the public, which is not only there are things that are acceptable to say and not, and things that are acceptable and unacceptable to think and not, the opposite of what I just said, but we must think it immediately. We must not gather information and get the facts, which is among the cornerstones of American exceptionalism, is we don't smear an entire group for what a few people did, no matter who it is. Whether it is leftists in general, they all didn't riot in the streets. What we do is we capture the law breakers and the criminals. We interrogate them. We give them due process and their day in court. And then we adjudicate the facts in the case. Among the attacks on our system, on every cornerstone that this country stands for, is the attack on our justice system, on the mentality of our justice system, where we get to decide the facts in a case over a period of time and not, you know, either engage in either vigilante justice, blatant bigotry that smears giant groups of people like Trump supporters or white men or whomever, the same people who've been screaming and pounding their fists about racism, are in fact advocating the ugliest form of bigotry, which is to smear one person with another person's crime because they belong to the same group. As we know, individuals are unique creatures with many, many good, bads, and indifference. And, you know, once upon a time, the left actually believed that. They believed that we shouldn't engage in racist stereotypes and bigoted stereotypes in deciding that everybody's the same or ought to vote the same. Now that, they graduated to believe that if you're black, you have to vote a certain way. All of this is bigotry, and it's not very veiled bigotry. But I do want to move on because I have many points here. It is my objective, as best I can, while I certainly am heartsick about the betrayal, the tyranny, the treason that we are watching, some of it so far not being punished or even called out or even the public aware of it. And maybe I'm wrong, and I'm always willing to consider that possibility. It is my objective when I have the privilege to be on the airwaves to try to boil things down to what I think are some of the core issues from my perspective. And you have your core issues. Again, don't ever forget that. That's the beauty and the joy of talk radio. It's essential to stay in the moment because when I invited my one and only guest, my dear friend, and smart cookie, Dr. Martina Cartwright, who will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, I knew that this is a moving target, and that is a not a literal comment, but a figurative one. I knew that whatever happened on Wednesday, a lot would happen between Wednesday and Friday, in fact, and that is exactly what is happening. So what we have here is not a failure to communicate, a failure of open communication, but that's beside the point. The next issue I just want to get to is this preposterous and strange notion. If I could have gotten an audio of just a really throwaway line from Young Frankenstein, I would have given it to our producer, Doug, but I just couldn't find it because it isn't momentous, and yet I remember it so clearly. Gene Wilder, as Professor Frankenstein, is looking around every corner with big candles with Terry Garr. And at one point, I'm not sure where, he says, "Such strange goings on here." And so I'll just have to get you to remember that line because I couldn't find it on YouTube. What is it that would allow a party that just won everything? Everything they think, they believe. They've won a monopoly of power in Washington. They won the House. They have control of the Senate. And they just had their presidential candidate deemed the next president of the United States, their half-demented, communist-owned Joe Biden is the public believes is the president-elect, and yet they're still not happy. They are still screaming for Donald Trump to be removed from office immediately. It's 12 days. This is the 8th right now, and I'm letting you know we are broadcasting this and recording this on Friday the 8th, and Ilhan Omar, Chuck Schumer, and all of the Democrats are saying, we have to enforce the 25th Amendment. Donald Trump is nuts. He must leave the White House right now. And if Mike Pence, the traitor to America, does not do so, we're going to impeach him again and have him removed from office. How about that? What are they so afraid of in 12 days? Seriously? They've been dealing with this guy for four years almost, and they are terrified still of Donald J. Trump. They're saying he just conceded. They got it all. They won the mother load in politics, and yet they're still not happy. What the heck is going on? Do they know something we don't? Well, for one thing, there's something we do know, and that is they're incapable of being embarrassed. They're incapable of any sort of embarrassment. To call them hypocrites would abuse the term because there's nothing that shames them. They are shameless. So we're going to take a little break, and I'm going to try to sum up the rest of my initial comments, and believe me, we'll have a rowdy discussion with my friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright. We'll get her thoughts, and then I just love talking to her because there's nothing that she doesn't have an opinion on, and we get together, we have a good time. So stay tuned for this short break. When we come back, I will try to wrap these thoughts up with a whole lot more to come. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
Welcome back. This is Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I'm in the midst of giving you a couple of my boiled down thoughts. I mean, I could do an hour on each of these issues, but there is so much going on. And don't forget that there is right now a whole lot more going on. If you think this is over, it ain't over. Now, this is not wishful thinking on my part, because I acknowledge that I don't know how this is going to turn out. I've had hunches. Those hunches have been sometimes tested, and sometimes I was losing faith. And, of course, it's not a faith issue. Either it happens the way we hope it will, and bad guys will be held accountable no matter what their party, no matter who they are, no matter what their color, faith, or creed. I want the truth to come out, and I want bad guys who lie, cheat, steal, and engage in traitorous behavior against the United States of America to be prosecuted. And frankly, you know, if Donald Trump were really guilty of that, and I do not believe he is, I think he's probably the one man with maybe precious few others who is trying to bring truth out and allow the bad to be prosecuted. Then I would want Trump to be prosecuted if, in fact, he were guilty of these kinds of crimes. These are crimes against American citizens, and they are as high a crime as you can believe. To collude, all of the words the Democrats have used and accused Donald Trump of, to collude with a hostile communist foreign power, they need to be put in prison. To engage in bribery, blackmail, using the taxpayers' money, to manipulate and intentionally avoid reporting things so that the American people are kept in the dark and they are told what to think instead of what's actually happening, so that they are a reliable fourth column in this government the way our founders intended. I could go on, and I do. Here's a thought. Communists always, and those with evil intent, they always exploit the very worst natures of humanity. Have you noticed that? Whatever is your weakness, your vice, whether it's money, whether it's women, whether it's drugs, whether it's recognition, superficial fame, celebrity, whatever it is, people who want to manipulate and control you will hold that out as a carrot. And the stick is always, well, we will expose all your worst peccadilloes if you don't do as we say. I believe there is a river of blackmail and bribery running through our beloved government and is part of what the deep state runs on. Do I have any of those facts? Heck no, I'm an everyday citizen. But we are watching this, and Donald Trump has and continues to do what he can to expose it and to bring out the facts. Doesn't it amaze you the number of people who just believe what the mainstream media tells them? When the media says, these charges are baseless, baseless, I tell you, and every single person parrots the same thing on every network, even a bunch of turncoat Republicans, some people just believe what they want to believe. Remember this, no court in the land has actually heard the case for voter fraud by an official from either the Trump campaign or people who represent Donald Trump. It hasn't happened. The merits of the case have not been adjudicated. But boy, have there been allegations. Under any other circumstances, they'd be bombshell allegations. But in the corrupt system we are watching, it's like a matrix where people are just being told, oh, you didn't see what you saw. Here's what you saw, right? And we are just expected to go along. Just the exact same thing as put this rag on your face and shut the hell up. And if you can, put the rag in your teeth and make sure you don't talk, or we're going to give you something to cry about. Remember, that's what your parents said to you. If you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. It's a really common thing that kids heard. Now, here's another motto meme that I came up with. Again, these are all related, but my, oh my, there's just too much to talk about in so little time. And that is, if you are unable to recognize tyranny in the early stages, tyranny will continue to advance until it shocks you into reality. But by then, it's too late. I put that with one word missing because I couldn't get it on there as a meme, both on my website at KarenKataline.com, at my Facebook page, Twitter, Parler, MeWe, and Gab. I'm there all as Karen Kataline, either slash or at sign or whatever the hell. I'm not the greatest technical person, as Doug, my producer, will attest. However, these times require that people be aware of the unmistakable signs of tyranny. The Rubicon we crossed, as far as I'm concerned, was when governors and mayors, all pretty much of the same party, decided it was their right and their job to be able to put law-abiding, healthy citizens on house arrest and manipulate how, why, and when private businesses could be open, when they should close, how many customers they could serve, and how many people you could have at your Thanksgiving dinner. Make no mistake, tyranny always marches forward, which is why it so often leads to genocide, because it never, ever has enough. Just as I said, the Democrats got it all, according to them, right? They've gotten it all, and yet they're still not happy. They're still angry. They're still bitter. They still want to go after every Trump supporter, and certainly Trump himself. That's bizarre. Now, that would be considered a hate crime under normal circumstances. But what are they still scared of? What are they still angry about? Number one, they're always angry, because that's what fuels activism, and that's what fuels the revolution. But let's move on and see if we can't sum this up a little bit. We have enough time to do that. Here is a thought. Before I do that, here's another little motto. I have questioned and questioned and questioned how people that I actually do respect, statesmen, why can't they see what I see? Am I the one that is misguided? Am I the one that is not seeing it clearly? I don't know what's going to happen on January 20th, but my hunch still is that it ain't over. It ain't over until it's over, and it ain't over, period. Now, the media said Donald Trump conceded, but when I listened to the comments, I didn't hear concession. So the media told us Joe Biden was the president-elect, like what, November 4th or something? And when I looked at everything, that's not how it appeared to me. Now, again, this is an information propaganda war. And if enough people believe a lie, you can make people think the lie is the truth. When the people, and I hate using that term because it is so broad and general and collectivist, but they can't take away your rights if you know you have them. Now, it is true. In a tyrannical environment, you can be forced to do things, or, as Gandhi always said, if they kill me, they will have my dead body, not my obedience. That was his answer to it. We're Americans. We generally don't go there. But who knows? Every individual makes his own choice, his own decision. That's not where we're going with this. But this is what I thought about. We're talking now about people who are not corrupt, and there aren't that many of them left, but certainly people that I know personally who've been in the political trenches for decades, and yet they called on Donald Trump to concede well before he had even exhausted all of his objections, and all of his objections have not been heard in a court of law. Not one. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Now, if it's a Lynn Wood case or whatever, I don't have the time to go through every case. But I can tell you that anyone who officially represents Donald Trump, none of the evidence has been adjudicated in a court of law on the merits. So why is it that people I respect would tell him to concede with allegations that would be bombshell under any other circumstance in a healthy country? And this is a sick country right now. It has the virus. Let's not put it on life support. It could be. We don't know yet. Here's what I came up with. Gullibility has less to do with intelligence than we ever thought, and more to do with psychology, what we fear, and what we see as the purpose of our life. Remember I said just before that communists always play on our greatest weaknesses and our greatest vices. So they want obedience, and in order to get it, they will scare you into thinking you're dying, or you're killing someone you love, or someone you love is dying. They always play on your weakest fears and your greatest vulnerabilities. That doesn't mean you should stop being concerned about your loved ones. It means you should be self-aware and realize when you're being played. Okay? Now, let me go back in our last few minutes to what I said originally, which is, it ain't over till it's over. Now, the last couple of days, or actually the last day, 24 hours, is the first time I've allowed myself to even comprehend the idea that not only could there be a Biden administration, but Biden could have a monopoly of Democrat power. Biden could have a completely Democrat Congress, House and Senate. The trifecta in politics, which of course is still not enough for these people. They're going to want to go after and destroy the lives of anybody who opposed them. And they don't care whether you know it. They don't. So I'm telling you right now on this date, on the 165th show of Spouting Off, that I don't believe it's over yet. Now, it could end up being over, because whoever gets inaugurated on January 20th, or whenever inauguration turns out to be, I still don't know. This is too unusual, uncharted territory. I don't think it's an absolute done deal that this compromise by the Chinese half Alzheimer's patient is going to be president. I just don't know yet. And I encourage you to keep your own counsel, keep your own sense of discernment, and stop believing the media that has continued to lie to you over and over and over again in this matrix we're calling 2021 America. Well, that's it on my thoughts. We'll have more after this commercial break. And my dear friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright, wait till you hear her background if you've never heard her before. She's a dear friend, and you'll know more about her right after this. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment,
please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. You're listening to Spouting Off's Friday edition on BBS Radio every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, noon Mountain Time. And it's been a while since I've had the pleasure of talking to not only this very thoughtful scientist, but a friend, and a friend who wrote the foreword for my book, Fat Lash. So delighted and honored that she was willing to do that, because we turned out to become friends, even though we don't always get a chance to talk to one another. I have to invite her on the radio, you know, to in order to catch up. So that's what I decided to do. She is an internationally known scientist and speaker. A PhD is president and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical Consulting, an adjunct faculty member. I don't know if she still is, but she has just amazing experience in infectious diseases, bioterrorism, food safety, nutrition, and neuroscience. She writes for Psychology Today Online, and her name is Dr. Martina Cartwright. Welcome again to Spouting Off.
Good afternoon, Karen.
Yeah, good afternoon. Well, here's about the only fair and reasonable thing to do, and that is to just allow you to wax philosophic about what you have seen transpire in the last, say, 72 hours, from Wednesday on. And, you know, just what are you finding the most important things for people to hear in your opinion of where we're at?
You know, this has been a hard 3 days. Just to see everything that's going on, and to see a man who has dedicated the last 4 years to try and proving the United States to be set up for being marginalized, as well as his supporters being marginalized. And that every newscast, it seems, that is on, including Fox and some of the other networks, the setup that he's to blame for everything that's gone wrong, which distracts from some of the positive things that have been going on as well. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising. I think it illustrates how deep and thick the swamp is, and I think it's showing the true colors of the hypocrisy of the Democrat Party. And I mean that in such a way that now they're talking about unity and all of this hypocrisy when they called Trump supporters deplorables and everything else. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to come out on top as being morally superior, when in fact things that have transpired within the last 3 days are actually the people trying to get their voices heard again in mm-hmm. a system that is ultimately rigged against those that believe in law and order and the judicial system, amongst other things.
So where do you think we're at right now, and where do you go from here? And then we're going to delve a lot deeper into this, because, you know what they say, opinions are like derrieres. Everyone has one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the tough part, because it's like the grieving process. I've come to accept that President-elect Biden, it's actually, I think, in my opinion, in about 3 to 6 months, will be President Harris, will be in charge of our nation, as well as the Democrats in both houses, the House and the Senate. I think we're on a trajectory towards socialism, and accepting that is a tough pill to swallow, but it is what it is. And I think what's so disheartening is that we all want something to do. We want to do something about this to change it. However, you have to have a lot of strength energy and support to counter this tide that's going right now. And it's disheartening because you're correct, Karen. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. We all want to do something. We hear people, you know, talking about all these issues. But it's almost like learned helplessness. What do we do now? How do we act? Because everything that we have done has been knocked down or, you know, there's going to be continued attempts to marginalize, to censor, to not have our voices heard.
Right. So, Martina, what if I told you that while my faith was certainly shaken and right before you came on, I got to my ultimate conclusion at the moment, not even a conclusion, but where I'm at right now. We are all watching this unfold together, and these are some among the most historic times, and I might humbly say we're not headed towards socialism. We're headed towards communism, Chinese-style communism that only gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Americans have no clue because we've had so many such blessings of liberty. But if I were to make a case for the fact that it still isn't over yet, now that doesn't mean that I have four bets out that Trump will be inaugurated on January 20th, and I'm fully prepared to recognize that I might lose those bets. One guy gave me a 10-to-1 odds. He has to pay me $500, and I only have to put in $50, right? Because he's that sure that Biden is going to win. So I have about four bets going, and I thought, well, you know, if I lose, I'll lose so much more than a bet. I might lose a little bit of you know, I might feel humiliated because I lost. Nobody likes to lose, but we will have lost the country, so what does it matter? That was my thought, and I was getting prepared to maybe have to lose that bet. But then I continued to hear more and more that doesn't add up, just like the coronavirus never added up. Never, ever added up.
Agreed.
The masks don't add up. The lockdowns don't add up. None of it does. And without going too deeply, because some of this is more of a hunch than a, I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. But in my deepest gut, right at the same place where I said these masks aren't going away, these masks are the very symbol of 2020. I don't think they're the symbol of 2021, because I think 2021, the symbol is the unmasking. Now, masks of all kinds in 2020 were the order of the day, and they still are. I believe Trump ran for office specifically for this moment. Now, many people became so darn frustrated at the fact that we've been told again and again, this is going to happen, something big is going to happen, something big is going to happen, and nothing ever happens. And it seems like we just keep losing and losing and losing more until everybody abandons Trump, right? Right? That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there are certain principles in war. Now, I haven't read The Art of War, but I ordered it, and I'm going to be reading it. And I know that this is the biggest chess game there ever has been. And one of the important things in war is to let your enemy or let a criminal commit the crime before you go and arrest him.
Yes.
You cannot stop the crime before it happens. It's a terrible situation, like in when an abused woman says, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. And the only thing the cop says is, well, wait till he does something. Well, if he does something, I'm going to be dead, right? So it's a catch-22. And yet you must expose, when you're in an information war, you must expose the crimes for all to see. And you must let them get very comfortable in committing those crimes. So Donald Trump is still the president. There are still pieces of information coming out. And there's still a constitution which we have entered, you know, into uncharted territory where none of us are constitutional scholars. I'm always wondering if even the constitutional scholars I talk to are constitutional scholars because there's such differences of opinion, and I interview a lot of them. So all I'm saying right now is I hope to God I win that bet for the sake of this country, and it ain't over till it's over. And there's a lot we still don't know. What do you think about that, Martina?
I think there is a lot that we still don't know. I think there's a lot that needs to be uncovered. I am confident in Rudy Giuliani, and going back to his history of RICO and all of the racketeering and other violations he uncovered when he was mayor of New York and a prosecutor.
Yes, yes.
Is an impressive and often not appreciated strategy that may be employed in this particular situation. I think that, you know, one of the many reasons why I have essentially shut off the news and I've gotten rid of all of my news apps on my phone is that
smart.
It's so biased, you can't even see it.
Yeah.
So it's causing a lot of angst for people. I haven't lost my faith in my, you know, in God or in any kind of, you know, ultimate direction, so to speak. I am disappointed in people, but that's what they are. And I think that anything is possible if you have the right players doing the right thing, that we have to have faith that this will unmask, as you so eloquently said, everything. And I mean everything.
Everything.
The crime, the swamp, the deceit, the interaction between, it doesn't matter if you have an R or a D after your name, if you're a representative or a senator, it doesn't matter. The swamp is thick and deep, and I hope all of it's uncovered and exposed, and that the people see and not be blinded by the bias that's on the media.
Dr. Martina Cartwright, I mean, she's such a treasure. Number one, so knowledgeable, but also so honest. I had a rabbi on yesterday on the New Hampshire edition of Spouting Off. Wonderful Rabbi Arya Sparrow, and I appreciated him so much. You know, I said, boy, I wish I could indulge you and just have you give me counsel personally, because I'm upset. You know, I don't know what to do. And you have to go through those stages. And he was so honest. You know, most rabbis I've talked to, not, you know, necessarily religious counseling or whatever, one of them told me during the Obama administration to see a psychiatrist or something because I was so worried about the country, which I thought, boy, I wish I was mentally ill. It would have been a lot easier on me. And this rabbi said, you know, I've learned not to, I paraphrase, not to give bromides when people are just dealing with trauma. What a smart man. You can't just give bromides, it's going to be okay. You have to work through trauma. And I think people of faith will, and you will. And we may just be incredibly positively surprised that Donald Trump was the right man at the right time. And that he does care infinitely more about America than his personal legacy. And if he can save the country under such circumstances, he'll go down as one of the greatest presidents who ever lived, no doubt about it. We have 30 seconds, and you have graciously agreed to stay with us for the final segment to wrap up the show with me. I'll tell everyone what we're going to talk about. Same subject, but a different branch of the tree when we get back. We're talking to Martina Cartwright, Dr. Martina Cartwright. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. Lots more to come.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And we are doing commentary and analysis and wading through some of the most historic, significant, frightening times, certainly in our lifetimes and possibly in the history of America. So we do our best here, and always your calls are welcome when we're doing the show live, which is Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. We are talking to Dr. Martina Cartwright, among other things. She is an internationally known scientist and 20 years experience in biomedical research, education, infectious diseases, bioterrorism, and she has an opinion, which is just so nice. She also wrote the foreword to my book, Fatlash, which was eloquent and beautifully written, if I do say so myself, gave the book a lot more cred because of Dr. Cartwright. So let's do this. Thanks for staying with us, Martina.
Absolutely.
And as a talk show host, there's been two subjects for the last week after week after week after week, because they're so momentous and because they symbolize everything that seems to be coming our way. The election fraud and the election of 2020, they're so connected. And this business with the coronavirus, which I've ranted about for 10 months. You're an expert in infectious diseases. A lot of medical people I talked to took this all very seriously. Never said the virus wasn't real. But what this virus has been used as an excuse to do to the American people is unconscionable, cruel, and truly unconstitutional. Would love to get your thoughts as to how this figures in, the coronavirus, which they have ridden this horse, as I knew they would, all the way to the election and beyond, and how that applies to what we're talking about, which is the imposition of communism in America. God forbid. Tui, tui, tui.
I think one of the key areas that the coronavirus lockdowns have affected is our right to assembly. Because when you look at individuals' right to assembly and what has been shut down most robustly are religious organizations, churches, synagogues, and so forth, mm-hmm. as well as bars and other places where people tend to congregate and socialize. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what our founding fathers did before the revolution, they met in taverns. They met quietly to talk about what they were going to do. And in the same way, our right to assemble with other people has been completely shut down without any kind of logic. What sense does it make to shut down businesses partially or at certain hours? Is the virus less contagious at 10 p.m. than it is at midnight? I don't know.
According to my science,
it isn't.
So, it's preposterous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And there aren't, look at what's happened in New York and California, where they've instituted very robust lockdowns, and the virus is running rampant. It doesn't make any sense. And moreover, it's not to say that the virus isn't real. Obviously, it's like any other virus. It's contagious. The effect it has on people is variable based on their own genetic makeup and their background, their health risk, and so forth. I think this has been used as an excuse to keep people from assembling, especially before an election. And it's just another way to control the populace and to literally brainwash them into compliance, but in the name of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Martina, that's beautifully stated, and particularly having to do with the right to assembly. And as I often say, there's nothing new under the sun when communists come to power. God forbid. They say all of this is for your own good, and we care about you. But we're going to be as cruel, and what we do to you is cruel, but it's for your own good, and you have to believe us. We want the best for you. No, they want to rob you of your individuality and of your liberty. It was also used for mail-in balloting, which we now see the bridge, the connection, as many people already did, from coronavirus, which happened just around the time when the election started in earnest. It was also used to destroy the economy. These are people so virulently hateful towards our country, Otherwise, why would they want to turn it into the opposite of what it was meant to be? I call that cultural misappropriation. That they want to reverse everything that makes the country what it is, from self-sufficiency, individuality, liberty, personal freedom, prosperity, the ability to engage freely in commerce and assembly, all of our Bill of Rights, all of it, including personal accountability, which is what faith is all about. They hate that. I mean, that's like, you know, they're like Dracula to that, not just the cross, but anybody of faith, they hate. And there is a spiritual component. I'm not an expert on that, but there is a spiritual component to a level of narcissism and worship of evil and the lack of personal accountability, which is so ugly and disturbing that it's hard to even talk about. We need all of that to be cleaned out. Boy, I got caught up in going on and on there.
I'll tell you.
Yes, go ahead, comment, please.
Very hard, and I will say this because I am close with somebody that has completely disagrees with me. I have another friend whose own family sends her hate mail on her via text every day, telling her she's brainwashed, that they're worried about her because she's a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of hatred that sickens me. That you have personal relationships that are devastated by the sheer bias and the hatred of what's exposed every day. And my response to all of this is, you know me as a person. Do you believe that I am a racist, bigoted homophobe? And the answer, of course, is always no. I said, then why would you think that about a group of people that you don't even know? It is that level of hatred that I do not understand, but that's been perpetrated by the media, and certainly, as you pointed out, by hard communists that want to convert this country into something that we won't even recognize. And it disgusts me.
Yes. And also know that, I mean, the divisiveness is also part of bringing about socialism / communism, because we know what their playbook is. We've seen the playbook. The playbook is to turn brother against brother, parent against child, children snitching on their parents, being owned by the government. All of those things we've seen. It seems like a sci-fi movie, but it's not. It's real. The monitoring and spying on citizens and trying to manipulate how they live, what they think, what they do. I mean, everything that America was created for is the antithesis of all of that. And another reason, among all the others, in order to save this beautiful, exquisite country that has offered prosperity and freedom to so many, is that Trump should succeed in being able to expose the true ugly underbelly to so many people so that they will see, get out of the cult of leftism and recognize that one or the other of these friends or family were not so stupid after all. That's my hope and prayer, that not only does all this get wide open, blown wide open, and people are prosecuted, there will always be people who won't believe it, will hate Trump because of the brainwashing. But look at the family relationships that might be saved by this country being able to come together. I hate even using that horribly hackneyed term. Under basic fundamental human values, I think a lot of healing could come from that. The left clearly has no interest in doing anything but going after their political opponents and pounding them into submission. Any thoughts about that before we wrap this up? And
you know,
any final comments?
Ultimately, they're trying to create a culture of dependency. Yes. Thereby, the government will be in charge of everything. From healthcare to, you know, if somebody's unemployed, you destroy the economy. The only choice is to become dependent on the government. And I have faith in the American people that we will stand up, and it may be like the Revolutionary War, where only a third of us will stand up for the country that we believe in and the country that we love so dearly, in order to prevent this type of attitude. Because without America, there's no one. There's no one standing up for human rights or the rights of the individual. And we must stay strong and we must stay positive, even when we're confronted by evil.
Beautifully said. And, you know, I've also been reminded, as we philosophize here, these are the times that try men's souls. This is the time when we are challenged to know what we believe, what we stand for, what we're willing. You know, New Hampshire, I do a show twice a week, and their motto is live free or die. What are we willing to stand for? Gosh, wow, faster always than I think. We only have 1 minute. Is your website still in operation, Dr. Martina?
It is. MartinaCartwright.com.
MartinaCartwright.com. Easy to spell, not like Cataline with a K. Thank you so much for joining us, Martina. And I hope to talk to you again soon. I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up the show here. And that is thanks to Doug, thanks to everyone at BBS Radio, and thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday when there will be, oh, so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.